Good morning. You're listening to The Beacon. Snowy Saturday morning to you all, friends. I am Lainey Kleeman, joined as always by my friend and co-host, Mr.
Brian Hawkins. Yes. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Lainey.
Good morning, Brian. How are you? Are you feeling better?
I am feeling, for folks who don't know, I was a little under the weather last week.
For the first time in, well, the near decade that I've known you.
Yes, well, I think we're all under the weather today. Heavy snow.
We are literally under the weather. Under the snowfall.
Yes.
Was that intentional or was that just a lucky pun?
No, that was intentional.
That was a good one. I liked it.
My brilliance.
it abounds. It really does.
So, what's going on with you? How are you these days?
I'm good. I was in Las Vegas last weekend.
Oh.
Yes. It was the most mellow Vegas trip I've ever had in my life, which, you know, isn't saying much. I'm not a crazy kid to begin with, but it, my best friend who lives in California met me there, and, you know, really, we just kind of spent time together. Like, we didn't have any big ambitions to go out and party all night long, you know, nothing. It was
Can
just,
you do that in Las Vegas? Just kidding.
When I was in my 20s, now, not so much. The first night we were there, we were both asleep by 10 o'clock.
Oh, I thought you were out at the casinos.
No, we did penny slots in the casinos.
What's that, that one game that I don't like to play?
Craps.
Oh, craps.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, craps.
I know why they call that game craps.
I did a couple of, when I was like in my 20s, I'd play a little blackjack, but no, now it's, we did about, I don't know, an hour of penny slots just because they had a Golden Girls penny slot and a Dolly Parton one, and we both were getting a kick out of that. So we spent some time on the penny slots. I did get to go do a yoga class with the dolphins, which...
Dolphin yoga?
Dolphin yoga, yes. I know we've been talking a lot about goat yoga lately.
I knew the dolphins had to get in at some point. They're the smartest animals.
They are. And I, you know, I'm torn about it because I don't like seeing animals in captivity for entertainment purposes. I am very opposed to that. And I don't know the story behind the dolphins that they were at the Mirage. I don't know the story behind the dolphins there, if they're, you know, if they were captured for rehabilitation. I don't know. So I was very torn, but dolphins are also my favorite animal in the world. And I've had the privilege of seeing them in the wild. I was kayaking when I lived in California. I went kayaking in the in Malibu a couple of times in the Pacific Ocean, and the dolphins would just like dive up and around our kayaks, and it was phenomenal. Like, and a totally ethereal, transformative experience to be out in the wild with the dolphins. So I just love them. They're my favorites.
So how can dolphins do yoga?
They didn't do yoga. We did yoga. They swam around. They played. They entertained us.
So that makes it dolphin yoga.
A dolphin observation yoga. Is that a better term? A more accurate?
More accurate.
Doesn't
term.
Have the same ring to it, though.
No, it does not. So that means if I'm sitting around and I'm watching television and someone around me is doing yoga, is that Brian yoga?
Brian observation yoga? It could be.
Okay.
It could very well be. That's true. It's a bit of a misleading name for it. But anyway, so it was a good weekend. It was nice to, you know, have a little time away and recharge
good.
A little bit. And
yes.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's fine.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
You have my permission to do that again.
That's fine.
All right. I've been enjoying the Olympics, so what little there have been of them so far, and I guess there's going to be a whole lot more to come.
Mm.
The great thing about that is that when it's over, then I guess winter should be done.
Oh, that's true. That's a good way of looking at it.
Of course. I'm trying to find any...
Find the positive?
Yes.
Because we got reminded this week that it is, in fact, winter.
Yeah, we thought we were cruising, and it's like, hey, we'll be out of this in no time, then all of a sudden, boom.
slammed with it.
Yeah, but, you know, you go into Las Vegas, is really actually apropos, because in about a month, that'll get you in shape for the casino night that's coming up.
Excellent.
Yeah.
As long as they have penny slots, I'll be in good shape. I'll be geared up and ready to go.
I don't know. They've got poker. They've got blackjack and other games. And Gary Rich, the chairman of the Lighthouse Board, will be here to talk about that. So you'll be able to find everything out about it. So people, get in shape, go out and study your basic blackjack strategy so that if you go there, you can be somewhat of a shark and
go hit the riverboats and go over to Horseshoe and get some practice and get some conditioning in, friends.
That's right.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about that.
And also, since we are trapped, snowbound for the moment at least, I thought it would be nice if just to get away, if not physically, mentally, and travel to Italy. And Francesco Brezzini, who is a travel and tourism expert, will talk about Italy and what it's like to go there now, what you could expect, and things of that nature. So hopefully that'll help the situation.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. And then we're also talking to Sandy and Brett today, and it looks like they've got a surprise for us.
Well, whatever it is, it's highly recommended.
And by surprise, I mean we just don't know what it is, so it will be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, and then we'll do my awe factor, and of course, Luke's laboratory with Juan Soraz, and we'll wrap up the day.
Yes, so lots of stuff to get to, so let's get to it. Of course, this is The Beacon on WCPT 820 AM.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
Hi, this is Beatrice Leonard, and you guys know that I love visiting exciting places. Our guest today, who's going to tell us all about Italy, and I want to thank Francesco Brezzini for joining us here.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I want to thank you for joining us here to tell us about your country and why it's so great in the fashion and the men and the museums are there. So, Francesco,
yes,
for those who weren't taught that Italy is that island that's shaped like a boot, can you tell us where Italy is, please?
Yes, of course. Okay. First and foremost, good morning to everybody. Yes, Italy is a peninsula, so it's in the center of Europe. It's in the center of the Mediterranean Sea. And it is, in fact, shaped like a boot and has two islands off the coast of Italy, one is Sicily, one is Sardinia. It's we have a little bit less than 60 million people living there, and it's one of the oldest country in Europe. We one thing that actually makes Italy exciting is the fact that during the course of 500-600 years, a lot of people went, you know, they colonized Italy at different time, and they all left something. So the thing that it's interesting about it, when you go to Italy, our culture is basically the combination of 7-8 different civilizations. So what you get to see is this extraordinary sort of celebration of everything that was great about European, kings and European civilization. So from north to south, east to west, you have, as far as culture is concerned, Italy is still probably one of the most sort of dense populated area where they actually have the highest concentration of culture in the world. In fact, we have 51 World Heritage Sites. UNESCO, which is an organization from the United Nations, has awarded us with this unprecedented number of sites. Just to
way to
give
go.
You an idea. Yes, China, which is, you know, as you know, it's probably, 100 times bigger than Italy, has only 46 side. So it's that's just to give you an example of what Italy has to offer. And on top of that, as you were mentioning, because we have been blessed during the course of the centuries with a lot of phenomenal artists and artisans and eventually designers and artists in the recent years, we do have a long-standing traditions on not just beautiful art on the walls, but as translated in the recent past, in incredible design and, of course, fashion. Milano is and has been one of the two capitals of fashion in Europe with Paris. And, some of the streets of Milano are basically the places where you can see everything that is going on as far as the fashion is concerned now, in the past, and also, of course, the future with all the new designers that decide to live in Milano because they have easy access to, worker. And, of course, Milano becomes this incredible place where you can see everything that has to do with fashion.
Now, your history has played a great part in everything there in Italy.
Yeah.
You're a country that your old school, as young people say now, blends very well with today.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I'm very interested in seeing when I come to Italy is the Colosseum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in seeing the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Of course.
So what is the Colosseum like now? Because we learned about it in school.
Mm-hmm.
How have you all been able to preserve it up to now?
Nowadays, this extraordinary structure stands tall. It was so well built that, yes, it needed some maintenance, but still, like 90% of it, it's all original, so you can actually still see and walk in places that, this gladiator was walking 2,000 years ago, which I think is the extraordinary part of going on travel in general, and in this case in Italy, where you actually get to touch and see things that people like you were touching or walking through 2,000 or 3,000 years ago.
Oh, well, see, that's what's exciting.
Yes,
that's the part that's exciting. Yeah. Now, what about the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
The Leaning Tower of Pisa is an interesting sort of phenomenon because, of course, it wasn't built to lean. Of course, it was this extraordinarily beautiful complex, a Leaning Tower. The Tower of Pisa is part of it, which is called the Square of Miracles, which is comprised of a beautiful church, a beautiful baptistry, and then this towers was supposed to again celebrate everything extraordinary about Pisa. But the problem was that the ground was not sustaining well the weight of this heavy tower, which is made out of marble, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, during the course of the century, it started sort of caving in on one side. But and it became extraordinary because it's very visible. A lot of the towers that were built back then, they eventually start caving in and they're leaning a little bit, but nothing quite as extreme as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And it became this extraordinary, of course, example of the beautiful, but also, sometimes, how fragile some of this work of art are. So has been sort of, during the course of the years and the centuries, a lot of engineers have been working, so they stabilized the tower. So the tower is just constantly leaning, but it's very, very stable. The ground has been sort of made in a way that it will never fall. But it's this extraordinary thing. And just to give you an idea, beside all the beauty of it, just so you know, like, for example, our scientists like Galileo Galilei, that's how he sort of theorized and they used it to do experiment on the Leaning Tower, because leaning, they were able to throw stuff and fall in perpendicular to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That was a perfect stage for the experiments that they needed to be done back then. So that's
good.
Another sort of like a little thing on the Leaning Tower.
Francisco,
yes.
What about the gondolas? Now, I'm trying to get this straight. Okay.
Yes.
You have the gondolas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your mail delivery in the boat. The gondolas are for the romance and the violins, right?
Nowadays, yes. But, it was always, it's like everything. Of course, technology takes place. So nowadays, the people from Venice, they move either with the sort of like motor buses, if you wish, which are these like big Tragatio ferry that move around the lake, all private motorized boat. But back then, it was gondola was the best way to go about it. And the reason was that in order to move around Venice, the Venice in some places is very shallow, so you needed a very shallow boat. That's what the gondola is. The gondola is very, very shallow. And in order to successfully be able to maneuver it, the best way was to stand like the gondolier does on one end and use this very specific way of sort of propulsion, which is this one sort of remo, one sort of long stick that basically is used to move around the laguna. So to answer your question, yes, nowadays it's more of a spectacle and it's mainly used for tourists, but it was the main way of moving around Venice for 200-300 years until sort of they have this engine and sort of the shallow boat that took place of the gondola. But the gondola still is, you know, this fascinating and beautiful way to actually see the city from the water and up, and it's extraordinary because the gondolier that has this very tough job, in order to have an easier time, they regulate their breathing by singing in a certain certain ways, and so all the songs that you hear aren't just for, you know, the tourists, but actually help the gondolier being able to have the right rhythm when they have to sort of move with the gondola. So it's a fascinating experience.
Now, beautiful. What about mail? Are you still delivering mail by boat?
Of course. Yeah, okay. That's the funny thing. It's like seeing a Lego set. Everything from the firefighter to the police, even to the construction, it's all moving on water. So you actually go see and you see the little sort of ambulances, you know, God forbid, emergency. It's all, of course, on water. So you have a little, a little town that where everything moves exactly like a regular town, but it moves on water. There's no cars, there's no anything on the, you know, on the land, because it can move around, because when you move in Venice, you should know there are over 300 little bridges, the different section of Venice.
Okay.
And the actual bridges are not flat, they actually have like a flight of stairs up and a flight of stairs down, so you cannot move from one to the next with wheels. You can only walk around.
Francisco, do you have guide dogs, CNI dogs there in Italy?
Yes. There is especially Italy. It's on the forefront of the European community for services in general, and on the guide dog front, there's this agency that has been created by the Lions Club, who actually has that mission of providing, CNI dog for, of course, for anybody who's asked free of charge. It's a public and private endeavor where it's been sort of fully funded, that trains and also offer the service of the CNI dog.
Okay, Francisco, I got to ask you:
yes.
Did you all invent pizza and spaghetti and linguine? Did you?
Pizza for sure. The spaghetti, to be completely honest, Marco Polo, which is this Italian explorer, he went and during the year 1000 or 1100 venturing, and apparently came back seeing the spaghetti who originally he saw them in China. So the spaghetti is probably older and it's a Chinese invention, but the way you eat it, yes, that's how we created pizza. No, pizza is completely Italian. Actually, the funny thing is there's a story attached to it. It was created by a chef who was serving the king of Italy back then. And there was the queen of Italy. Her name is Margherita, who actually had sort of suggested the chef to try something that then became la pizza margherita, which is the original pizza. Pizza margherita, you might have heard of, is just simply the simple one with just simply fresh tomato, mozzarella, and basil. And
that's the recipe
that the queen of Italy suggested to the chef to try, and then eventually it became the pizza that we know nowadays.
Okay, now a question about pizza. Now, the pizza, now they put sausage on it, mushrooms, tomatoes, cheese, and etc. Do they serve pizza like that in Italy?
Yes, of course. Yes, we do have pizza. The difference is that our pizza thin crust, with our pizza, when you go to a pizza place, it's one person, one pizza. You don't have those large pie that you have here in the United States. And generally, you know, it's all about fresh ingredient, and it's something that's brick oven, and again, it's very thin crust. So, but we do put toppings like you do in the United States. We don't do the Hawaiian pizza. For us, it would be like sacrilege, because you pineapples and anything like that. But, you know, the regular, yes, of course, we have the mushroom, the sausage, we have it, you know, with different type of cheeses and all of that. So that's very similar than in the United States.
The fashion.
Fashion. Yes.
Okay, what about fashion? Before we leave, we got to know about the clothes. I mean, how did you all become so, so popular, you in France? I mean, when you talk about fashion, you think of Italy and France. Why is that?
That's an excellent question. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that craftsmanship during the Middle Ages and then the Renaissance, it became one of the most important things of Italy. If you go in places like Florence, for example, that's a celebration of craftsmanship as a whole, starting from the shoemaking to the leather, so jacket or leather goods. And then it evolved with the fashion world to actually designing of clothing. I don't know if you knew it, but the idea of fashion design was created during the beginning of the 20th century by a movement called Futurism, which is a movement that was born in Italy and in France. And this movement was all about how art should be accessible to everybody. So the artists themselves were, for the first time, designing their own clothes, which kind of resembled some of the paintings that they were doing, and then they became the very, very, very first fashion designers. And after that, people understood that art wasn't just something that you go in a house or in a museum and you see it on the wall, or you buy it, put it in your garden, but something you can actually wear. So that's where the whole movement starting, of course, in France with Chanel and all that. And then we have our greatest design in Italy, where design sort of was a way to translate the art that you see around and to make it into this beautifully crafted clothing. And one thing I want to add, Italy isn't just a place for just admire, you know, those beautiful clothing, and sometimes there are prices that are completely unaffordable. But one thing that we have developed more and more are these amazing outlets, both in Tuscany, we have a lot of them. We have them in the Marche, which is a region on the east coast of Italy, where you can actually go and get extraordinary clothing from great designer of Italy, but at a cut price.
Well, Francisco, I want to thank you for joining us today. Now, when we come to Italy for the I got 2 minutes left because my engineer just pushed me out the chair. If I come to Italy, how long do you suggest we stay to really appreciate it?
Well, the quick answer would be, I would say everything short of a week would be almost a waste of money.
Okay.
You need at least a week to have a sense of the three major cities, maybe venture in the countryside of Tuscany just to have a glimpse of what Italy has to offer.
Well, Francisco Brazzini, I want to thank you for joining us today. This is Beatrice Leonard.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to The Beacon. I'm Brian Hawkins, along with...
Lainey Kleeman.
Yes, we're all back together again. Last week, it was just Brett and I, but that was fine because you had two guys talking about the Super Bowl.
Two wild crazy guys.
Two guys who know a lot about sports, particularly football.
Well, that is a show to not have missed, I'm sure. I'll have to go back and access the archives to listen to that one.
Now, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. I don't want to leave the ladies out. I know a lot of ladies like football and sports as well, and they know a lot about sports. There are certainly a lot of female sportscasters on local news stations around the country. And
one of my best friends from college, his wife is actually a big sports reporter on ESPN.
What is her name?
Ramona Shelburne. She does basketball primarily. Like, she's a big basketball, like, Lakers. She covers a ton of Lakers stuff. But I see her on all the time out here on, like, ESPN talk shows.
Oh,
crazy.
Wow.
Ramona Shelburne. Keep an eye out for her. Yeah, her husband is one of my best college friends.
Well, she had a real lot to report this past week because of the NBA deadline, trade deadline, and Cleveland pretty much changed their entire team. So she probably spent a lot of time trying to sift through all of that.
I'm sure she did. I don't follow basketball. I like football, but I'm not a basketball fan, so I don't know much about that. But I'm sure she did. I'll have to look into that.
Okay. Well, something else we can all appreciate and look into. Our two producers, Sandy and Brett, they have a new segment. It's highly recommended. So let's find out what they're recommending.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to It's Highly Recommended. I am Sandy Murillo, and here with me, Brett, how are you today?
Yes, everybody, it's Brett Shishkoff. I am doing good. I also have a book that I actually just got finished reading. It's based in Detroit, but it's future Detroit.
Sure.
And in this future, this book is called Nice Dragons Finish Last.
All right.
So it's based around... this gentleman, he is a dragon, but in this world, dragons can also have a human form. So he's part of a family. He is one of the youngest of his family, and he basically he can no longer turn into a dragon because he's kind of the misfit of the family, and they're trying to kind of trial by fire. He's supposed to go and try and find a missing dragon from one of the other dragon families. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of magic in this book, lots of twists and turns, some good sarcasm in there. It kept me smiling and laughing all the way through the entire book.
Sure.
So if you're a fantasy person, you probably would enjoy this. Like I said, it has dragons, sorcerers, shamans, that type of thing, but it's based in a future reality where Detroit is the only place where, like, magic and dragons cannot actually turn into a dragon. So it's kind of like a safe haven for people who are afraid of dragons coming and taking them away. I would say that this probably, age bracket wise, it's probably like a young adult book to maybe... you know, like teens to young adults. Mm-hmm. That would probably be what I'd say. You might enjoy it if you're a little bit older, but you do have to like the fantasy style, futuristic type stuff. That's, if those are the books that you read, you'd like this one for sure, I think.
Definitely.
But I know you have a few things you wanted to touch on. There's a play that's supposed to be happening today.
Yep.
Did you want to kind of go over what's going on with that?
Yeah, so as we have mentioned in the last few weeks, the Chicago Lighthouse and the American Theater Company, we are partnering with a special touch tour and audio described performance of We Are Gonna Be Okay. This play is actually, the play starts at 2 today, Saturday, but the touch tour that begins at 12:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Basically where, you know, guests are able to feel the different props, costumes, and also hear from the actors themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the audio. The play will be audio described for those of us who can't see so that we can, you know, understand everything that's going on mm-hmm. in the play.
Yep.
That the play itself is from 2 to 3:45, and it takes place... The setting is during the 1960s with the Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very interesting plot line, you know.
That, right.
It'll be. But the play is actually followed, Brett, by a small reception.
Mm-hmm.
The reception will be following the play. The play ends at 3:45.
Okay.
And the reception ends at 5 p.m.
Okay, so about an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, this is at the American Theater Company, 1909 West Byron Street. And that's on the north side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We are still, you know, tickets are still being sold. You can buy them online at www.chicagolighthouse.org. Or once you make it to the theater, you can also purchase tickets at the door. And, you know, I'll be there. Next week, I will be sharing information about the play and my review here on It's Highly Recommended. And Brett, also for Sandy's View, uh-huh. You know, speaking of reviews, this week I am highlighting a new and exciting campaign that the Chicago Lighthouse will be holding this summer. It's called Lighthouses on the Mag Mile.
Okay.
You know, basically this is a public display of art.
Mm-hmm.
It'll feature over 50 lighthouse sculptures that'll be decorated and painted by artists with and without disabilities. And we're actually currently looking for application submissions for artists that are interested in participating. And also for businesses that are interested in sponsoring this campaign. You can read more details about this on our blog, www.chicagolighthouse.org, and you will find Sandy's View under the What's New section of the website. And for more information about the campaign, you know, check out the blog.
Well, is there anything else that you had to touch on? I think that was everything, right?
That's about it, Brett, for me.
Well, I hope everyone's doing well. I hope you guys have been able to dig yourself out of the snow that we've been having. I am Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Murillo, and happy birthday, Brett.
Thank you very much. You are listening to The Lighthouse Beacon.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Being a veteran here, I think, has helped me. I could not see, because this is why I initially was brought here by a counselor from the VA, because like, they collaborate with each other and help us to get our vision better. When I first walked in here, I didn't know the life of a blind person. I actually didn't know. And when I came here, I walked through the door and I could see how people were so, you know, they act like they could see. And it was so inspirational to me. I cried like a kid when I first got it, because I was overwhelmed to see how people can deal with blindness, you know. And the Lighthouse really, really has helped me with a lot of things, because I've learned to be more knowledgeable about computers. And they have an exercise class that they teach us how to exercise. Every fourth Friday of the month, we have a luncheon where all the seniors meet. We sit there and talk about different events and different things. And my greatest passion right now is being on the radio, reading to the blind. That's my greatest passion. I really love that. Number one is to be able to give back to people that can't see, because I was overwhelmed. And I promise God within myself that I will do this until I cannot see again. This is my greatest passion in my life.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, as always, Brett and Sandy with their round-the-town recommendations. Speaking of which, do you do the auto show at all?
I haven't been to the auto show in many, many years.
Really?
Yeah. I should have gone a couple of years ago because that's when I purchased a car. I always wanted to buy a car at the auto show, but...
You can buy cars at the auto show? Mm-hmm. Like, just regular run-of-the-mill cars? Or do you have to buy a fancy auto show car?
No, you can buy a run-of-the-mill car.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had no idea.
Mm. Well, I think they're less expensive. I remember maybe someone told me that many, many moons ago, but did you go?
No, I'm going to. Because of the snow, I'm not exactly sure when, but my son, who is almost six, he'll be six in a couple weeks, is obsessed with cars. Have I talked about it? I think I've talked about that on the air. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely obsessed with cars and like... has such intricate working knowledge because he'll watch YouTube videos of how a Chevrolet works and how a Ford works, and he will like he knows the names, like the technical names of all the working parts. It's crazy. This kid has like a memory that I've like certainly doesn't come from me by any means. So I think I'm going to take him. I think he'll love it. I mean, I don't. He just doesn't get impressed by much. He really doesn't. But you know, at the very least, I think he'll enjoy himself. So mm-hmm. I do think I'm going to take him down there at some point. I'm not entirely sure when, but I've never been. I've been in Chicago for 14 years and have never been to the Chicago Auto Show. So this will be a new experience for me as well.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while either. But when I did go, from what I remember, it was a good time. You get to collect a lot of material about the cars, and you get demonstrations, and you get to see prototypes that they're not going to make, but...
but have conceptualized, at least.
Right, exactly. And then you get to see some of the newer cars that are coming out. So it should be a good time.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Well, you have to be rich to purchase a car from the auto show. So let's talk to our friend Mr. Rich, Mr. Gary Rich. How was that for a segue?
That was lukewarm.
Better than most of my segues.
The problem is you don't have to be rich to buy a car from the...
You don't?
No, so that wasn't a true statement, but no. I get it.
But you see where I was going with it, right?
Yeah, so I'll give you a little finger snap.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, Gary Rich, the chairman of the Lighthouse Board, talks about our casino night, so let's turn it over to Gary.
Well, for those of you that have been listening to a long time for the Beacon, you know that we always have different events, different fun events going on at the Lighthouse. And today joining us is a very special guest here on the Beacon, Gary Rich, who's the Chicago Lighthouse Board Chair, and he is here bright and early joining us on this Saturday morning. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and thanks for having me, Sandy.
Wonderful. Well, I know that you are here to talk about a great event, Raising the Stakes for Vision, that is coming up. Can you talk to us? First of all, this is the second year of the event, correct?
That is correct. Last year was our inaugural event. It was very successful for the first year, and we got amazing feedback even the night of the actual function. People said, you know, this is really different than anything else the Lighthouse does. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. Yeah. Can we, you know, I'm going to tell my friends about this next year. And indeed, that's what's happened already. We just started announcing the second annual casino night. And lo and behold, sign-ups are running 40% ahead of last year, which is a good indication that word of mouth, people had fun. It's working.
Well, and it's, you know, as you mentioned, it's a casino night. It's something that, you know, everyone can join in the fun and have a great time with their friends, with their family. And I know that this year it'll be at the same location as last year. Can you talk a little bit about the details?
Oh, sure. It's going to be held at Gibson's on Rush Street on their private room upstairs. Each ticket will allow you, whether you do casino or poker, mm-hmm. you will get Gibson's wonderful food. I always like to point out their desserts also. They're terrific. It's my personal favorite. Please don't tell my wife. And there's an open bar all night. It's just a fun event for everybody. Now, for those of you who don't want to play poker, we have casino games, blackjack, craps table, things in a roulette table, I believe. And, you know, people who play those games will get winning tickets that will allow them to enter, or chips actually, allow them to enter into different sweepstakes for different prizes we'll be having. On the poker side, what's really amazing is the main prize, the top prize, is a $10,000 World Series of Poker seat in Las Vegas, We also have, on the poker side, a three-night stay at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, mm-hmm. gift certificates to Rivers and Horseshoe Casinos, Chicago hotel stays, great restaurant gift certificates, and items from ABT Electronics. Last year, I think we had a couple of 55-inch big screen TVs that were prizes that people won. So it was really a great night. I would also like to say, if you've never played poker, it's Texas Hold'em.
Including me, Gary.
Oh, including Sandy. Well, Sandy, here's all you have to do. A, if you go online to register for the event, you'll see a link that will actually show you what hands win at Texas Hold'em and, sure. and how you play. Also, the night of the event, early on, Jeff Jackson, the co-chair of the event, will be actually having sample games to show people how to play. It's really easy. By the way, I should mention, how easy is it, you say, Sandy? Well, the answer is very easy. Last year, the grand winner of the top prize almost never played poker. See, you really don't need to be an experienced poker player. It helps, obviously, mm-hmm. but an inexperienced player won the top prize. So really? There is an element wow. of luck involved in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. So, you know, I now that that's encouraging, you know, that someone with little experience was a top prize winner. So, you know, I might join in, Gary. And
well, I'm going to have you at my table for sure. By the way, there's usually a bonus. Last uh-huh. year, I'm the co-chair of the event with Jeff Jackson.
Sure.
And there was a bounty that if you were at our table and knocked us out, in other words, we lost all of our chips, which mm-hmm. happened, I had to do a rebuy, but you get last year I think there's a $200 cash bounty for knocking me or Jeff out. So that's an additional incentive to come and have some fun, is knock out the co-chairs.
Well, that in itself, I think, encourages me more too, Gary.
I know you'd love to knock me out.
And, you know, this is a fun event, great food. A little birdie told me about the chocolate cake. That's amazing.
Yes.
And it supports a great cause, Gary.
Yeah. This particular event supports our Lighthouse North venue, which is Glenview. It's mm-hmm. a low-vision clinic. Has programs, you know, I like to say from birth to death, and people point out to me, well, death isn't a very positive thing to say. But what I mean by that is early childhood, 0 to 3 age group, as well as senior programs, learning how to use computers. They have parties galore there, and they provide, you know, the low vision care and adaptive technology that the Lighthouse is a world leader in. So it's a great event supporting a great charity, and we'd love to have you all come down and have some fun.
You know, it's something that I always like to say about the Lighthouse. I think the beauty of it is that, you know, there's so many programs under one roof. You know, those of us that were former participants, you know, we know the critical mission that the Lighthouse plays.
Not to interrupt Sandy, but she actually started with the Lighthouse in our Birth the Three program. I won't say how many years ago, because she's still
back
very young.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, as my daughter, who's a college student, would say. And I always wonder how it could be back in the day for someone so young. But regardless, Sandy's been with us for how many years total?
Roughly 30 years.
Just 30 years. But she's only 25, so it's really
so
amazing
do the
math.
Do the math, you know. Great, Gary. So could you repeat the details about the location, how people can buy tickets?
Sure. Thanks for asking. To buy tickets, you can go to our website, go to Casino Night. You'll see it. Click on it. You can just go to www.chicagolighthouse.org, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And look for us there. The price of tickets, we hadn't talked about that. For the poker tournament, it's $200 and you get a bunch of chips. By the way, the gentleman who won the tournament last year, on $200 the chips, he won the tournament. He just took everybody's chips.
Wow.
If you just want to do casino games, and that would be not playing poker, but doing blackjack, craps, roulette, things of that nature, it's $150. You still get the same great food. You get the same open bar. You get the same desserts, including Sandy and my favorite, chocolate cake. And it's like I said, it's a wonderful night. It is a lot of fun. I don't know how else to describe it except as a very fun event supporting a wonderful charity.
You know, playing poker and having chocolate cake. What else can I ask for, Gary? You know?
I can't think of anything, quite honestly.
Well, everyone, if you would like more information about Casino Night, Raising the Stakes for Vision, go to www.chicagolighthouse.org. And if you would rather call, you can also call our good friend Lindsay Ingalls from our special events team. Her telephone number is 312-447-3448.
And if you call Lindsay, tell her Gary said to say hello.
That's right. That's right, Gary. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just come down, have a great night, support a great charity. We look forward to having you. It is a spectacular, fun-filled night. We hope you all can join us.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
All right, how about that, huh? Casino night. Can't wait. And you've got about a month or so, well, a little less than a month right now, but you can prepare and go out there and have a good time. There'll be lots of refreshments and an open bar. Now, something we always look forward to, this segment of the show, Ms. Lainey Kleeman is here with her latest story.
Thank you, Brian. So today we have a story about a dog who was assumed dead and then showed up at their owner's house. Well, didn't show up at their owner's house, but reemerged into civilization 10 years later. Abby, who is a golden retriever mix, was outside playing with her family, the kids in her family, in 2008 when she disappeared from the yard. And her family had no idea where she was, and she was just gone. So many years passed, and suddenly she gets a call 10 years later that the dog, Abby, had been found and was brought into the Humane Society, and she had been microchipped, and they were able to track down her family after 10 years of being of missing. So Abby returned, and she was a little grayer in the face and, you know, a little slower in her walk, but she still responded to the name Abby, and her family says she looked well taken care of. So whomever had been taking care of her over these last 10 years had done it, you know, done so lovingly and taken good care of her. And the kids that she was playing with in the front yard, who were, you know, 10 or 11, 10 years ago, are now in their 20s, and they were crying that their old puppy has returned to them. So they presumed she was dead, and she wasn't. She came back to live out the rest of her years with her first family.
And did they have any idea where she was or who had her?
They have no idea, which I find interesting because she was microchipped. So, you know, and they said that she looked well taken care of. So it seemed as though she wasn't just running homeless all those years. And she had a family that was taking care of her, but apparently they never checked the microchip, which, you know, seems a little sketchy to me. But all's well that ends well, because Abby was returned to her rightful family in health and happiness and
old age.
Yeah. So that's this week's The Awe Factor.
All right. Not bad. Well, I'll tell you, two guys who don't need to be taken care of. They're self-sufficient and smart guys. And that would be Juan Suarez and Luke Scriven in Luke's Laboratory. And we're going to turn and find out what they have in store for this week.
Good Saturday morning. I am Juan Suarez, and I always have the pleasure of holding the keys to Luke's Laboratory. And this morning, let's open up that laboratory and What's happening, Mr. Luke?
Well, it's cold again, so that's not good. And I missed my chance to go to Florida to the ATIA conference, which made me a little bit sad. It's a big conference which is held in Florida, and they have all sorts of different assistive technologies there. So I would have liked to attend both for the weather and to see some of my colleagues and all the new technology, but sadly I was not able to. So I am stuck in the Chicago cold, but I have been following things, and people have been sending me photos of things that they've seen, and definitely we'll be talking about some of that stuff in the coming weeks. But for today, we're going to go back to looking at seeing AI. And you probably remember that we looked at this a couple of weeks ago.
Sure, I'll see it AI part two.
Yeah, so this is part two. Last time we looked at some of the great features, including some of the features it has in terms of being able to read printed text. And I believe I also took a photograph of your face, and it told us a little something about your expression and your possible age. Right. So yeah, that was some of the features, but we didn't investigate all of the features, and so we're going to conclude that. And to help us out this week, we have a special guest by the name of Tori Howell, and she is actually going to be demonstrating the rest of the features to us.
So we have the pleasure of having two tech gurus in today, and good morning, Tori Howell.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the Beacon.
So we're going to look at two more functions on the Seeing AI app. We're going to look at currency and then product. So the first one we'll look at is currency, and it identifies your bills or your money. And it's really nice because you don't have to take a picture of it. You can just click on the currency function on the bottom of the screen and then just hold up the bill in front of your phone. So we'll try it now.
I would like to say I've also tried this with Great British Pound notes, and it works well for that as well. And I think it probably also does pesos as well.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Yep, so it will work with a few different currencies.
Yeah, okay, so here we go.
Currency preview. $1.
Hey!
Yeah, right. So it works pretty fast.
Just to explain again in terms of, because obviously we're on radio here, all Tori had to do there was pick up her phone with the Seeing AI app turned on, and she selected the currency option, and then she just held the bill up in front of her phone's camera, and without even having to press anything, it identified the denomination.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yes.
With how flat or how non-wrinkled does that bill have to be in order for it to read it?
Well, let's see. Right now, mine is a little crumpled, but not too bad. But I'll try to crumple it up a little bit more.
I'm just wondering for accuracy and how well it would reads it if it's not.
Right. Yeah, if it's kind of folded kind of up worn in your pocket or something like that. Let's see. I don't know.
$1.
Well, that time I folded it in half, and not even the whole bill was showing.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And like Luke said, it has U.S. dollars, euros, Canadian dollars, and British pounds.
Okay, but it doesn't have pesos.
It doesn't have pesos. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one we'll look at is product. And this one is going to read the barcodes of any item that you have. So whether it's like food or a shampoo bottle or anything like that. And you also don't have to take a picture of it. You can just hold the item up in front of the phone and it'll beep until it finds the barcode, and then it will automatically take a picture. So I'm going to select the product function on the phone and hold up my item.
Product. Processing. Campbell soup, French onion.
Yeah, so there. Yeah, you heard it say Campbell soup, French onion soup. So
great.
Yeah.
That's great. So again, just so people know, Luke, this app is 100% free, correct?
100% zero cost, yes.
And where can they find it?
Well, you have to, first of all, own an iPad or an iPhone. And it is actually designed for iPhone and not iPad. However, we have found that it tends to work with both. I will say, though, you may encounter issues with your iPad. I was visiting with a senior center a couple of weeks ago, and somebody had downloaded it onto their iPad Air, I think it was. And for some reason, every time you try to get it to read a document to you, it would tell you it wasn't able to because the phone was muted. even though it was on an iPad, not on a phone. And the iPad was not muted. I checked on that, and there was no problems with sound output. So I think it must have been a software glitch in terms of the app is designed for the phone, and it was put on the tablet. So you may run into technical issues. However, as it's free to download, it's definitely at least worth a try. And yeah, so if you've got an iPad or an iPhone, go to the App Store and type in Seeing AI, and you will find it, and you can then download it. Now, if you go on the iPad to download Seeing AI, bear in mind that you will have to search under iPhone apps in the App Store, because, like I say, it is designed for iPhone.
All right, so thank you so much. I'd also like to thank our guest, Tori Harrell. That does it for this edition of Luke's Laboratory.
That's it for us, folks. Do you like my beatbox? There's a viral video going around right now that I love beatboxing. It's one of my, I just love, like, people that are good at beatboxing, I am just, like, enthralled with.
Really?
Yes. And there's a video that has gone viral this week that's a dad beatboxing to his probably, like, 10 or 11 month old. And he's really good. And every time he stops, the baby signs, "Mom, Mom." It is so cute. So anyway, I'm not close to being that good at beatboxing.
Yeah, a little practice goes a long way.
I suppose it does. I suppose it does. But anyway, we're going to beatbox on out of here. Many thanks to our contributors to the show and our producers, Sandy and Brett, and their It's Highly Recommended segment, new segment on the show. We highly recommend it. Many thanks to our president and CEO, Dr. Janet Slick, and to all of our friends and listeners out there who keep us here, keep us on the air, and we hope that you stay safe out there in the snow, and hopefully the worst of it is over by the time you are listening to this, but it's still going to be snowy and cold, so be safe and stay warm, and we will talk to you next week.